Well, I want to thank you for joining with me. I want to welcome you to our event this morning or this afternoon, whenever you're doing it. I want to make note that we're open. We're practicing CDC guidelines out at the church in Goleta, but we're there Sunday morning at 9:30 if you'd like to come and worship with us and seek the Lord and study the Bible together. I have a word of testimony and a word or two of confession to start out this morning. I did a message last week, and part of it was centered on how the church is a body. And one of the body members helped me see a mistake I made and showed me a way to improve my life skills. My spelling and my reading skills often caused me a great deal of embarrassment. In last week's scripture, I read about a black man named Simeon, who is also called Niger. I learned later that day that the word I said had two G's in it. I didn't pronounce it right. I'm truly sorry for any offense that grew out of my reading mistake. I'm also very thankful to be a member of a body who helps each other. When they presented it to me, I had honestly never thought about getting a phone app that would read the scriptures for me. So now I have an app so I can learn how to pronounce the words correctly this morning, the names correctly this morning, and the scripture we look at. So I'm humbled and thankful. As we start into our study of the book of Acts, seeking to discover this life in the Holy Spirit, today is June 28th of 2020. I titled the message, Barnabas and Saul on Cyprus. And our text is Acts chapter 13, and we're going to cover verse 4 through 12. So my outline, I subtitle it, A Missionary Message. A Missionary Message. Point number one, preaching requires the Holy Spirit to convict. Number two, preaching had a definite content. And number three, preaching resulted in convert. So, we're living in a new normal right now. Our friends here in Acts 13 were living a new normal also. We're writing COVID-19 rules and guidelines as we go. Our friends here in Acts 13, they're writing something new too, and we will call what they're writing the New Testament. This is the last time Barnabas will get top billing when they introduce him. This is also the last passage where they use the name Saul. From here forward, it will be Paul. And Acts chapter 13 to Acts chapter 28 are subtitled and listed as Paul's missionary journeys. So Paul is stepping forward. In the book of Acts now, it focuses on the Holy Spirit to ministry to us Gentiles. The ministry of the Spirit will write the New Testament for our guidelines. The Holy Spirit will create what we call the church. This ministry of God's Spirit will spread throughout the world in an amazing fashion, much like we see the COVID-19 virus spreading all around the world. God's word spread like that from this point in time that we're reading about today. Paul will step forward as Peter takes a step or two back. Last week, Saul was in last place. This week, he'll move into first place and he will finish well. God's grand drama introduces us to two new people today. A Jew named Bar-Jesus. He's also called Elymas. He's an evil magician and a false prophet. We also get to meet Sergius Paulus, the Roman government, and he was a man of intellect and understanding. Now, I have a spoiler alert. One of these two is going to get cursed, and one of them is going to get blessed. So let's dive into the New International Reader's Version of Acts chapter 13, and I'm going to try to read verse 4 to 12. Barnabas and Saul were sent on their way by the Holy Spirit. They went down to Sicilia. From there, they sailed to Cyprus. They arrived at Salamis. There, they preached the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. John was with them as their helper. They traveled across the island until they came to Paphos. There they met a Jew named Bar-Jesus. He was an evil magician and a false prophet. He was the attendant to Sergius Paulus, the governor. Paulus was a man of understanding. He sent for Barnabas and Saul. He wanted to hear God's word. But Elymas, the evil magician, opposed them. The name Elymas means magician. He tried to keep the governor from becoming a believer. Saul, who was also known as Paul, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He looked straight at Elymas. He said to him, "You are a child of the devil. You are an enemy of everything that is right. You cheat people. You use all kinds of tricks. Won't you ever stop twisting the right ways of the Lord? Now the Lord's hand is against you. You are going to go blind. You won't be able to see the light of the sun for a while." Right away, a mist of darkness came over him. He tried to feel his way around. He wanted to find someone to lead him by the hand. When the governor saw what had happened, he believed. He was amazed at what Paul was teaching about the Lord. The end. So Barnabas and his Jewish parents lived on this island of Cyprus. I wonder what his homecoming was like. Cyprus is a very nice place to live. In those days, they called it the Happy Island. Its climate is wonderful. The economics of the country then and now are amazingly stable and good. The Christian church is about to take a giant step. They decided deliberately to take the gospel to the world. So, the missionary message, point one, preaching requires the Holy Spirit to convict. This is probably more true today than ever in history, that we need the Holy Spirit to touch people's hearts and convict them. Preaching's hard. Listening to sermons is even harder. The reasons are really not difficult to diagnose. The influence of the high-tech advertising and the word weariness of our contemporary culture, it's no wonder it's hard to pay attention to a sermon. Sermon listeners today may be like the people who listen to Ezekiel in Ezekiel 33, verses 31 to 32. And this may be uncomfortable for some of you. The context is the Holy Spirit is speaking to Ezekiel. So the New International Reader's Version of Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 31 and 32. "My people come to you, just as they usually do. They sit in front of you. They listen to what you say, but they do not put it into practice. With their mouths, they claim to be faithful to me, but with their hearts, they want what the others do. Are you nothing more to them than someone who sings a song? They say you have a beautiful voice. They think you play your instrument well. They listen to what you say, but they do not put it into practice." The end. The gospel and the word are God's effort to offer people life change. The intent of our study of Acts is life change. Life change equals repentance. Repentance equals life change. A on your outline. They knew the Comforter was abiding with them. A. They knew the Comforter was abiding with them. And underline the word Comforter. These people in Acts knew this to be true in their lives. They knew the Holy Spirit was abiding within them. I wonder, do we? To honor Jesus, I want to read about Jesus' promise of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to read from the NIV Reader's Version of John chapter 14, verses 16 to 17. Jesus said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another friend to help you and to be with you forever. The friend is the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him. That's because the world does not see him or know him. But you know him. He lives with you. He will be in you. The end. This is the intent of our study of the book of Acts. To know him. To know the Comforter lives within us. B on your outline. They knew the Holy Spirit would be controlling their actions. They knew the Holy Spirit would be controlling their actions. And underline the C word, controlling. This is the resurrection life of Jesus. Jesus' life was controlled by the Holy Spirit. The resurrection life he offers us is a life controlled by the Holy Spirit. To honor Jesus, I want to read about his teachings on the work of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to read from the New International Reader's Version of John 16, 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. He will tell you what is still going to happen. The end. This is what Paul is doing in our passage. The Holy Spirit is controlling his actions and speech. I can't say for you, but my life experience would be less trouble and less embarrassment if I let the Holy Spirit be in more control of my life. You too? Paul will write a letter to a little church in Galatia. He tries to explain how he and one does this life in the Spirit thing. So I want to read to you Galatians 2, 16 and 17. Paul writes, We know that one is made right with God by believing in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Jesus Christ. This is so we can be made right by believing in Christ. We are trying to be made right with God through Christ, but it is clear we are sinners. Now I want to read to you Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. I do not live any longer. Christ lives in me. My faith in the Son of God helps me to live my life in my body. He loved me. He gave himself for me. The end. Simply put, you believe that when Jesus died on the cross for the sin of mankind, he died for me, for you, for us. I died with him. In him to the old ways of sin. Can you see how this is true? I believe that when Christ died on the cross, I was in him. I was with him. And I now live the life that he lives after the resurrection because the old me died with him. Number two on our outline. Preaching had a definite content. They did not preach a social gospel at this time, which is quite popular these days. They preached the Word of God. So the NIV Reader's Version of Acts 12:24, we read this a few weeks ago. The word of God continued to increase and spread. The end. So the word of God increased and spread. A on your outline. Their preaching meant contact with people. Their preaching meant contact with people. And again, underline the C word, contact. They preached God's word in Jewish synagogues. There were no church buildings. This is all new. This whole pattern of preaching is all new. Paul is living out his 15 New Testament books. The rest of Acts 13:13 through 52 is the content of Paul's message of God's word. This is the message that he gave to the governor. And we will study 13:13 through 52 in the weeks to come. But this is the content of the word that Paul was preaching. Now, John Mark is living out his gospel with them. John will step out of the role of a helper and into the leader of God's young church, not without some controversy. He will tuck and run, but he will come back. And there's a lot for us to learn about Mark. But Mark will come through well and write for us the gospel of Mark. B on your outline. True preaching will encounter conflict. True preaching will encounter conflict. And underline the word conflict. There's a war between good and evil taking place all around us. If one chooses to take sides with the good, one must expect conflict. There is a spiritual war of good and evil taking place all around us. And if you choose to step out for the good, expect conflict. To step up or to step out and side with what God says is right and true in His Bible will not sit well with the world we live in today. And I'm thinking some Christians may have to come out. Not that long ago, it was a very big deal for people with sexual practices different than what was considered normal to come out and publicly express their sexual diversity was a big deal. And I'm not so sure that the church doesn't need to come out of the closet and start standing for what is right and what is good. See on your outline. The Holy Spirit is confrontive. The Holy Spirit is confrontive. And underline confrontive. We will read several times in our study of Acts that the Holy Spirit speaks very strongly about evil. Note, it's not an idea, it's a word from the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit is confrontive, it is not some idea that this person has, some political agenda, or some guideline that they think people should live by. It's not a personal idea, it's a living word they are receiving from the Holy Spirit. I want to read to you from the NIV, Acts 13:9-10. Then Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight at Elymas and said, "You are a child of the devil, an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of every kind of deceit and trickery." The end. I wonder if church today has taken a step or two back from saying, "This or that is evil," out of fear. We're afraid of the response, so we're unwilling to say what the Holy Spirit is prompting us to say, and we don't do what God is asking us to out of fear. Because of our love for others, maybe we need to speak the truth out of our love more to others around us. Or maybe it's us who needs to repent. Because of our love for others, maybe we need to speak the truth in love more to them. And maybe it's us that need to repent. When the Holy Spirit speaks, it's to our lives and attitudes, not others. Number three on our outline, preaching resulted in convert. So the Spirit convicted, they had content, and now they have a convert. I want to read the NIV Reader's Version of Acts 13:7. Sergius Paulus was the governor. Paulus was a man of understanding. He sent for Barnabas and Saul. He wanted to hear God's word. Now I want to read Acts 13:12. When the governor saw what happened, he believed, and he was amazed at what Paul was teaching about the Lord. The end. A on our outline. The Holy Spirit calls people into his kingdom. The Holy Spirit calls people into his kingdom. And you probably guessed, underline the C word, call. The Bible is very clear that anyone who is adopted into the family does so by invitation. The Bible is really clear. Anyone who is adopted into God's family does so by the Father's invitation. Today's scripture shows us a man who is seeking, a man who is open, inviting, and trying to understand, and was amazed at what Paul was teaching about the Lord. He responded to the truth about Jesus. This attitude, seeking, open, inviting, trying to understand, and wanting to understand more about the truth of the Lord Jesus, is a good model for you and I. B, the Spirit was convicting the hearer's heart. The Spirit was convicting the Spirit's heart, and underline the word convicting. My hope is that by us seeking the Holy Spirit, we will express himself in this way in our day. My hope is that as we seek the Holy Spirit, we will express him in a way in our day that would help convict hearts. Our own first, others second. Now I want to read Acts 13:48. When the non-Jews heard this, they were glad. They honored the word of the Lord. All who were appointed to eternal life believed. The end. So later in chapter 13, when we get to verse 48, we see a number of non-Jews who heard what was said about the Lord Jesus, and because they were appointed for eternal life, they believed. To honor Jesus, I want to read about Jesus' teaching on the work of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to use the NIV of John 16:8 to 11. Jesus said, "When he comes, he will prove that the world's people are guilty. He will prove their guilt concerning sin, godless, and judgment. The world is guilty as far as sin is concerned. That is because people do not believe in me. The world is guilty as far as judgment is concerned. That is because the devil, the prince of this world, has already been judged." The end. There is a judgment day. This judgment day is coming soon. The world is guilty of sin. The world, we need to develop more belief in Jesus Christ. It's interesting to me how fast the world can assess guilt. Just one cell phone video and the mob is ready. No trial, no study of the situation or evidence, just guilty. Jesus said, "One sin is all it takes to burn in hell." I wonder why his church is so slow to help people understand and see their guilt before a holy God. To Jesus, all lives matter. There's a tagline around that some lives matter. To Jesus, all lives matter. Jesus was willing to offer his love and his life for mankind. Not just one kind, but mankind. Paul and Barnabas and John Mark were willing to offer their love and their lives along with Jesus. Do we love Jesus enough to offer our lives? Will we be like Paulius and seek understanding, want to hear, and want to respond to God's word? Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for your love. Thank you so much, Father, for your kindness and mercy and grace in asking your Son Jesus to come and live and die, perfect sacrifice for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for not leaving us alone, but as you promised, sending your Holy Spirit to comfort us, to help us, to encourage us, to instruct us, to lead us and guide us. It's our hope and our prayer today that our lives would be more willing to surrender to the loving, graceful control of your Holy Spirit. And please have mercy on our country, on our world, because of you, Lord Jesus, we pray and ask it. Amen.
Bring your tithe and bring your shame. Bring your guilt and bring your pain. Don't you know that's not your name? You will always be much more to me. And every day I wrestle with the voices that keep telling me I'm not right. But that's alright, 'cause I hear a voice and there'll be those who will call me a mistake. Well, that's okay, 'cause I hear a voice and it doesn't matter.